This is the Day Zero update for September 24th, 2017. I'm Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Dan Rebic-Soria.
And yeah, this has been a kind of an interesting week. TGS happened. Make of
sort
that
of
what you will. Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit later on in the show. But yeah. Some interesting stuff from developers doing things they shouldn't. We'll talk about that. We got updates from one of our favorite RPG franchises. So, yeah, we have quite a few things to talk about this week, even though it looked initially like it was going to be one of those slow ones. But, yeah, we got some stuff. But before we get to that, we should probably, you know, talk about what we've been playing this week. And for me, it's been, well, the same old. So I'm not going to spend much time talking about that. My full review of NASCAR Heat 2 is going to be coming this week. Pretty much done with that. And yeah, it's NASCAR. It's actually kind of good. It's kind of rough in some areas, and I'll expound on that in the full written review. So yeah, you want to stay tuned to smashmag.com to hear what I thought about that. So, yeah. But yeah, how about you, Pat?
All I've really had time for... on the Let's Weekend podcast, I explained that time has kind of been at a premium, as has energy this past week. Mm-hmm. So all I've really had time for is the occasional NHL 18. Right now I'm focused on the Be a Pro mode, which is as addictive as it ever was. But when it comes time to start streaming, I think I might do some sort of GM involvement.
Yeah.
Just kind of a fixing the AVs type of project and see where that goes. Although, as far as that does go, I have a hell of a lot more to work with this season than I did last.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Are the management modes in this year's like more robust than they were? Like,
could yes.
you actually just if you just wanted to do that, was that is that a legitimate option?
Well, that was a legitimate option last year, but now they've done a lot to make things more realistic in the way of waiver claims, being able to extend contracts in the middle of the season so you don't have to wait until the season's over to get players to re-up. Things like that. You can it is much more realistic. I haven't really had a chance to dive into the GM mode this season yet. But when I do, you'll hear a lot more from me about it.
Okay.
I do like everything I've heard about it. So that's been my week.
Awesome. How about you, Brandon?
Pretty much my entire gaming time has been devoted to ESA. I'm now at the point where we have started constructing the ship that we're going to be using to, you know, get off of the island. Also had an encounter with the ghost ship and its crew. Of course, Dana is now part of the party. Obviously, Dan Reb's already finished the game, so I don't know, but it sounds like I'm getting towards the home stretch here.
Sort of? Yeah. I finished the game at about a little more than 40 hours.
Alright. Alright, well.
A little bit left.
Yeah, I think by that time, you should already have, like, at least 80% of your map finished.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're almost done.
Yeah, there's like, I think the entire party, like, at maximum is like 24 people, and I'm at 21, I think, now.
Yeah, pretty damn close.
So,
yeah.
But holy crap, the game's been a lot of fun from the beginning, and really enjoy it, and I'll admit I'll be sad when it ends, but it's a good game. So,
well, it is a Falcom game, so there's plenty of opportunity for replayability in there.
Yep,
totally. I'm really interested to see your thoughts when you eventually finish the game, because when I first finished it, I was like, what the fuck? Typical Falcon.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's what I've been playing. So what about you, Dan Rip?
Yeah, for me, it really hasn't been all that much. I've just been really tired this week. I've been really meaning to get on top of the Project Octopath Traveler demo, and unfortunately I haven't gotten to where I want to get to it yet. So a little bit of that, just nowhere near enough. I also got a code from Marvelous Nexseed for Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash. If you're familiar with that game, it's it's mainly a whole lot of like ninja titty fan service kind of stuff, and it's primarily action. But this game is pretty much their take on what like DOAX was, except it's a water gun third person shooter. And aside from the fact that I'm weirded out by all this fan service, it's actually a really fun game.
They really just do whatever they want with this franchise.
So basically, it's just scantily clad female ninjas running around shooting each other with water guns. And then when you quote-unquote kill someone, you can finish them off by holding square on top of them. And, you know, instead of, like, teabagging in a first-person shooter, what happens is you shoot off their swimsuits, and then they have what appears to be sort of an orgasm, and then everything just shines. So it's hilarious. And then when you have to reload your water gun, they do a lot of pump action, and I'm not going to go into too much detail there. So, yeah, this is going to be a really interesting game to actually write a review for, but I look forward to it.
Yeah, it sounds like one you can have a lot of fun with the writing on.
Yeah, totally. Like, man, I want to do a video review, but I don't know what we'd rate it on YouTube. So I don't. I've also been playing some NBA 2K18, both for the review and just to see if there's any positives aside from the actual gameplay itself, which I'll just go into later because we have a segment on it.
Yeah. So. All right, so I guess we'll move on to our story of the day, and that's a hacker found that the Nintendo Switch has a NES emulator built in with NES Golf just hanging out in there, and it's been in there since launch.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not just a NES emulator, but it also has like full Joy-Con motion controls and HD Rumble already integrated in there. Mm-hmm. So, seems to me like Nintendo's probably writing their own emulator from scratch for this, which might be an indication that the Virtual Console will probably be something a little bit more in-depth than they've traditionally done.
Yeah. Although they've kind of said that from the beginning.
Yeah. Also, the reason people are sort of wondering why exactly they put it in there, and the consensus has been that it's supposed to be a tribute to Iwata, because this is actually the first game he programmed on. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's just a shame nobody can actually access it unless you get into the firmware hacking. But yeah, it's kind of cool that it's there. I'm sure eventually they'll probably figure out they'll probably add a code or something to make it accessible. Or, well, it might end up being the first Virtual Console game for all we know.
Going by the current theory, that it seems to be that it's just going to be intended to stay there on the system unused as a digital version of a sort of charm that...
Are you talking about the suggestions that this may be in, I don't know how to pronounce it, Omamori?
Yeah. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, and if that's the case, then that's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
So for those of you unfamiliar with the Japanese culture, and omamori is pretty much more than a tribute. It's essentially usually a small object or an amulet that's thought to provide luck or protection. So in this case, Nintendo is pretty much blessing all the Switches with Iwata's presence, which is a really cool move because obviously it goes to show the respect that they have for this man. And, whether you have a Switch, like, he'll always be there. So it's a pretty cool tribute. I wouldn't say it's a shame that we can't access it whenever we want. I mean, it's an Easter egg, if anything.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be something that you could, figure out a way to get into. Because it did put some effort into the actual emulation itself, so...
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee this is something Nintendo won't even mention until the day of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just discovered, and now we know it's there, and yeah. It's kind of, heartwarming and fun that they're still doing things like mm-hmm. that, even though a lot of people think they're just completely clueless. But no, I don't think so. Well, yeah. I kind of do, but still.
I was reading an article where it's not essentially hacking, but one way people bypassed it was by not getting their Switches online and then just changing the date from there. Hmm. I don't know. I don't have an extra Switch to test it. So.
Yeah. So that's really cool. What's also kind of cool is we are getting Trails of Cold Steel 1 and 2 remakes coming to the PS4.
Yes.
This one kind of came out of nowhere, but it makes a lot of sense with Trails of Cold Steel 3 going to PS4 very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was announced informally by Toshihiro Kondo himself in actually Trails is such a big deal now in Japan that it has its own magazine published by Dengeki.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first issue, Kondo-san actually said that, this is a thing that's going to happen. We're preparing it right now, and a formal announcement will be coming soon.
Hmm.
So, yeah. It's
pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's really good to know that the series really is in that good of a place.
Yeah, well,
yep.
I figure if you're getting a limited edition PS4, you're probably doing pretty well.
You've got it made.
Yeah. So, good on Falcom for, creating a very successful franchise. And I think that series in Japan is still gaining momentum. It's probably going to become one of the prominent RPG franchises, to date.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Come on, Sky Trilogy Bundle. Let's go.
Right?
Yeah. That's,
Yeah, I mean, like the main thing is, the reason why I mentioned that is because, all of our listeners know by now, but when, the third, Trails in the Sky game came out, it only came out on Steam. So if you started out on the PSP, unless you downloaded a save, there was no way to forward your progress.
Hmm.
So. And considering, they're getting their own PS4, they might as well just put the whole series on there.
Yeah.
Saying.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. And I think what's going to happen is I think Trails of Cold Steel is going to bring in so many new fans that are then going to realize that there's all this backstory. And that's where a lot of the demand for the remakes will come from.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they have mm-hmm. Pretty solid ports of the Trails in the Sky. So, I wouldn't be surprised if those PC versions end up on the PS4 as well, since it's not a very hard thing to bring them over. So, XSEED's got talent for that. So,
I
expect to see that in the not too distant future.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that relationship between Falcom and XSEED grows closer.
Yeah. Yeah, even though XSEED didn't get East 8, but they got Trails, and that may be the better bet in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. So now we'll talk about something that isn't so awesome, and that's 2K Games basically ruining NBA 2K18.
So, yeah.
Dan, you reviewed this, you played this, and you've seen this firsthand. Yes. Let's talk about what's been going on in the My Career mode.
Okay, so first of all, just to put it out there, the game isn't bad. If you played a 2K game prior to 2K10 and you've been thinking about it, go ahead and pick up the game. But if you've been playing the game, playing all the new ones every year like I did, it's a huge disappointment. One, mainly because... the online has never really been very good at all. And that's something that they should have been focusing on for the last 5 years, and they haven't. Instead, they've been focusing on giving the game a story mode, specifically in my career, and they've never been good. Which is a shame, because Madden went ahead and stole the idea, and they ran away with it. It was fantastic. Longshot is great. What they have in 2K is totally ridiculous. And to make matters worse for 2K is their sudden different approach to microtransactions in the form of the virtual currency. Now, the series has always had the virtual currency thing, but now it feels like an actual paywall. And so here's a few things that I noticed while I was playing the game for the review. I took a few notes here, and I didn't really mention them. So for people who actually like my career mode, one of the main things that we do is we always try to get our players overall to level 99. And it's a lot harder here, mainly because of all the spending you have to do to get to it. It takes 190,000 VC to get to level 85. That's already a whole lot. So if you want to get to level 99, you're spending more than 200,000 VC. I don't know how much that is in dollars. I can crunch up those numbers later, but it's not really all that important because, you know, yes, you can grind your way through playing games and whatnot to get to that amount, but that's, I want to say, over 500 games, and the game came out last week, so no one's going to do that. The other thing is that almost everything in the game requires virtual currency. So last week I talked about the fact that the game's main hub actually has you walk from place to place. So after you finish playing an actual game, you have to walk over to the playground to play some street ball. You have to walk over to the gym to do the mini games to work out. You have to walk over to the lounge to do some trivia stuff. Just a whole lot of walking. And, you know, this is all stuff that they could have done with menus. I also mentioned the fact that you have to, you know, walk to the barbershop in order to get a haircut. Guess what? To get a haircut, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. And you can't preview them either.
And you can't look at what your character will look like. You have a bunch of options in the catalog to see, like, what any random head would, but you don't see your face there. And let's say you choose a certain hairstyle. If you want to go back to being bald or whatever it was, you got to pay again. Totally ridiculous. If you want a beard, you got to pay for it. If you want tattoos, you got to pay for it. If you want your tattoos removed, you got to pay for it. I'm like, come on. And what's worse, if you want to start a brand new character, and the reason why you want to do this is because maybe you want to have a different position. Maybe you want to have them play a different way. If you do that, you lose all your VC and you got to start over at zero.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the fact that the game is already hard makes it worse that there's no rookie mode. So, yeah, you can say, oh yeah, if you're playing on rookie mode, it's just too easy. The main reason why you want to make it easy is so you can get all those unlockables. But it makes it even harder to do that. And considering we already spent $60 for this game, it makes me wonder, like, what exactly did we pay for? We paid for the roster update, and we paid for the very small integrations they made in the actual gameplay. Now, going back to the gameplay is fine. It's what it's always been. There's two main changes. One, there's a new shot meter, and the shot meter is placed right next to the player's head. So if you're playing cooperative play, you won't really notice any other meters there. So it's like it's distracting because, you know, you want to have that perfect timing. But if you're looking at that, you're not really paying attention to what else is going on in the court. And the other thing is making each player play uniquely. So, you know, Stephen Curry will play different from Russell Westbrook and things like that. You can't just use the same strategies you would with any other player. And, you know, that part is great. But as far as the other things, it just doesn't work out. So I ended up giving the game a 2.5, a mediocre score, and it's not because of the way the basketball plays. It's just because of the way the game is handled. And you know, I don't know. You'd think that this would probably be the best version of the game out, especially with EA Sports coming up with NBA Live, but it's not. This is the worst 2K game I've played in a while.
Yeah, it's kind of an opportunity for NBA Live to get back in there if they can, but I don't know how Live 18 turned out this year, so we'll have to check that one out. But yeah, it just seems to me like it 2K is really doubling down on these microtransactions. At this point, it's actually having an effect on the game itself. They seem to be wanting to just basically squeeze as much money as they can out of people. Because if you look on Steam or Amazon or wherever, you could spend $150 up front on this game.
Still not to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, there's a $100 VC bundle if you want to spend that. There's a Legend Gold edition for $150, as I mentioned. There's a $99 version for for whatever. It just seems really, really greedy on the part of 2K at this point. Uh-huh. It's the pushback is definitely there at this point. People are not happy about this.
I haven't bought any basketball yet this year.
Yeah.
But this is enough to get me to take a long, hard look at Live.
Yeah.
And Live is $40.
Yep.
Just throw that out there.
Live is $40, and that may very well end up being the smartest decision EA ever made. Because even if it's decent, it's probably going to be more enjoyable than having to slug through 2K's career mode at this point.
I don't want to come off like I'm against microtransactions. I mean, more than anyone, I'm probably when it comes to those. I think I've spent at least $300 on Overwatch on skins that don't even help my gameplay. So there are ways to get the money out of, the gamers. I work for a mobile game developer, and we primarily use gacha mechanics in order to make money. And, the main reason, aside from the fact that, we got to make money, is that, a lot of the games that you download are free. So, with mobile games being free and then with NBA 2K being $60, you do expect some value there, but you don't get it.
Yeah. You really don't. I mean,
microtransactions should enhance your experience.
Yeah,
not block it off.
Yeah, especially if you're spending $60 or more on a game, you really want you don't want it to seem like you're being nickel and dimed at every turn, which seems to be the case in this version. So. Yeah, a shame, but hopefully 2K will learn from this and either pull them rejigger the career mode, or they'll just not do it for next year, or they'll be completely skeezy and double down on it, which is probably what will happen. So,
we'll see. Like the NBA 2K is actually surpassed Madden as the best-selling sports game in America.
Yeah.
And the fact that they still feel the need to nickel and dime people, I don't know what's going on in corporate. They're making targets unattainable for people that want their bonuses, but I don't know. This is just bad.
Yeah. It's, it's almost as bad as Shadow of War. So, a lot of shit going on there. Anyways. So, we'll move on to a weird story here. Earlier this week, Fortnite players discovered that they were, in fact, playing against people on other platforms, including PS4 players playing against gamer tags or user IDs with spaces in them. And everybody knows if you're on a PS4, you can't put a space in your ID. So they were like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And cross-network play was enabled by Epic on Fortnite. Accidentally, and I'm putting air quotes behind that, because
this is really hard to do, huh?
It's like, talk about a very passive aggressive way of taking the piss out of Sony. It's like, seriously. It's like people were discovering like their one father and son was playing on the Xbox and PlayStation 4 and found that they were in the same game. And we're like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to happen. A lot of interesting stuff happening on that front, and I'm wondering what kind of response Sony is going to have, or if they're just going to say, no. Despite the fact that it's very clearly easy to do. So much so that Epic can do it without even really thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that last one.
Yeah.
They're just going to brush it off.
Yeah. Fire Jim Ryan.
Just
get rid of him.
I didn't even do anything with this.
So it doesn't matter. Just fire him anyway.
From a cannon.
Yeah. Okay. So now we get to, one of the internet's darling games is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Developers are a little bit annoyed that Epic Games' Fortnite is going to be getting a Battle Royale mode that's coming out later this week. They've been a little bit... they released a press release kind of complaining that maybe they own the idea, even though they said that... No, actually, we're not saying that, but we kind of are. They've... they released a statement to IGN. Well, they did an interview with IGN, no, PC Gamer, sorry. Because PC Gamer is, well, still a relevant publication, and they still got some good journalists over there. One of the things they said was, they're kind of concerned that Epic might withhold support, technical support for the engine. Like not building in features that would be beneficial to PUBG. They're also kind of, would be like building in those features, using it in their mode, and then not releasing it to them. So that's kind of, I suppose, a valid concern, but maybe a little bit reading too much into the tea leaves. Okay.
Because now everything that Epic does with Unreal Engine is supposed to be public domain?
No, but there's, you know, there is a base feature set that they keep, you know, adding to and stuff. So they're kind of concerned that, the support that PUBG gets and then ends up in their engine, you know, that kind of thing. But what's more concerning is that the Bluehole... has basically said that they've worked with a couple of other developers to work on a Battle Royale game, and they got a license. They licensed that idea, and I'm quoting verbatim, they licensed the idea of a Battle Royale game to these two other developers. And so I'm guessing they think that they want to be able to get one from Epic as well.
Mm. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah, guys, all I have to say is stop whining. Seriously. Mm-hmm.
This is like Brisk getting mad at Lipton or Gatorade getting mad at Pepsi. Like, what the fuck? I received this press release a few days ago, and I was like, yeah, this didn't have to be done. I thought press releases were for, you know, reinforcing positive stuff. So, yeah,
the news. This is the kind of behavior a patent troll does, to be perfectly honest. It's like, yeah, we had this idea. Nobody else can have that idea unless they pay us. That's my take on it. Personally,
kind of do pay you, but...
Yeah, they kind of do pay. Maybe. PUBG is raking in, like, bazillions of dollars. I think, you know, there's probably room in the market for more than that. You saw in the press release, they were like upset that Epic mentioned them along with H1Z1 and didn't talk to them. First of all,
they said they liked them.
Yeah, they said they liked them and we would like to do something like that. Also, they didn't mention them by name. The name of the game is PlayerUnknown's Battleground, not PUBG. Just point that out there. So, yeah, guys, seriously. Make your game, make your money, and shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the main reason to even feel any salt here is that, yeah, Fortnite is gonna, you know, beat PUBG to Xbox One and PS4, but when PUBG eventually does come out on those platforms, it's gonna beat the shit out of it, so why would I be concerned?
Yeah. I'm really, there's really nothing to be salty about. You're just, just stop. Basically. Yeah. So finally, we'll get into Tokyo Game Show, because it sort of happened this week. There were a few interesting announcements that did crop up. I mean, we did get a new trailer for Shadow of the Colossus, and it still looks amazing.
I mean, even in its original form, it looks pretty amazing in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But now we got it in glorious modern graphics and HD, and it looks downright breathtaking now.
Yeah, and this isn't a remaster. This is a remake. Let's put that out there. They're redoing this one from scratch. So, yeah, I expect the PS4 and PS4 Pro versions of this game to be breathtaking and gorgeous, and so many other superlatives I could probably think of. But yeah,
was there a release window for that?
When it's done.
Oh, okay. Announced at E3 for no reason.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, they said 2018, but yeah, like
this is coming out. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this will probably be like 2028 by the time it comes out. Who knows? Anyway, we also got the confirmation that the Polygon article was correct. Noctis is coming to Dissidia NT. Surprising,
absolutely. Oh, really? Wow, Noctis?
Yeah.
Shocking.
So, yep.
What a no-brainer decision.
Yeah,
still think it should have been day and date with the release of Final Fantasy 15, but you know, it did have to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering why they saved that announcement for so long. I guess they had to have something to talk about at TGS, but
no, they're waiting to announce Old Noctis.
Old Noctis. Yeah, he might end up being a color swap or something. Who knows? Square Enix also announced Left Alive, and that looks actually quite good.
Yeah, don't know much about it yet, except that it's a Front Mission spinoff that includes Yoji Shinkawa as the art director. Now, Shinkawa had to turn up somewhere eventually after the whole Konami bullshit, but seeing him end up at Square Enix is pretty exciting, so...
Yeah.
We'll see where this goes, because hopefully he's found a new home.
Yeah. And maybe this leads to a full-on Front Mission sequel at some point. Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like Square Enix is very willing to revisit their old franchises, even if they've been dormant for a while. So, I don't know where this is going to end up.
And Shinkawa would be a great part of what, long-term art director.
So, I guess... Do we need to remind people what the Front Mission series was? Because it's been kind of dormant, at least over in the West for a long time.
Probably
basically
a good idea.
Front Mission were mech battle simulators that were known for having a really lush and very well-written universe and world-building and character-driven stories. It was basically... For the longest time, it was basically the bread and butter for From Software.
Yeah.
Or they sort of hit it big with, Demon's Souls, and then started that entire subgenre all by themselves. Mm. This is pretty much what they did before that. And, I'm glad that this thing's coming back in some way.
Yeah. What was the last Front Mission game that we got here? Was Front Mission 3, or was there one that came on a PS3?
No, there was a shitty spinoff that was really Front Mission in only that ended up everywhere, unfortunately.
That's a shame.
Front Mission 4 did make it over here on the PS2.
Okay.
Sadly.
And then there was that PS3 game that I don't remember the actual name of. Yeah.
So. Wasn't it on Game Boy Advance? I don't remember.
Yeah, there probably was probably one of there.
Yeah, they re-released the original Front Mission.
On GBA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good news there. Also, for Monster Hunter fans, Monster Hunter World is getting a PS4 Pro bundle with a limited edition PS4 Pro. The game's going to be coming out 28th of January worldwide. I'm liking that we're seeing new limited edition pros instead of just slims. yeah, as far it kind of goes to show where they want people to be playing this particular game. So, yeah, I'm imagining we'll probably also see a Gran Turismo Sport PS4 Pro. So, actually, didn't we get that announcement already? Nah, yeah, I think I dreamt that. So, yeah, slim pickings for news as far as as far as DGS was, but we did at least get the announcement and release of Final Fantasy IX on the PS4. That one just kind of plopped right there on the PS Store. You get, I think it's $20 or something.
And now there really is no excuse, you know. This is the best Final Fantasy game in the series. Everyone has a way to play it. It's on PC. It's on PS4. If you have a PS3 or a Sony handheld, you've got that option. It's on everything at this point. Hmm. So, yeah, if you love RPGs, you owe it to yourself to experience this one.
Yep. Except it has a shitty trivia list.
That's true.
But yeah, when the game was announced, that was like one of the very few parts in the press conference that was entirely in Japanese. So I was like, "Oh, cool! I wonder when we get it." And then I wake up the next morning. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. And it's like right there. You can download it.
It definitely does not subscribe to the belief that everyone should be able to platinum the game given enough time.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That said, I'm just wondering why they skipped 8. I mean, they did 7 like what, a year ago?
7
9 this week.
Clearly to get to the superior game.
Mm. Yeah. But they're leaving a gap there, so they'll probably end up filling it sooner or later since they've got a ready-made PC port already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time for them to do that. And also, I should point out, as far as the trophy lists go, that 1,000 jumps is... yes, it's stupid and difficult, but it's also one of the ways to get 3 of the best cards in the game. So, yeah, if you're like into that whole triple triad thing, if you want to get like the best cards, that's something you're going to have to do anyway. So, yeah, I'm guessing they probably took that into consideration, but...
I wonder if anybody's already gotten that trophy.
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't
imagine. Because it'll tell you, like, 0% or not, so...
Yeah, it's like, I don't have the game, so I can't look at the stats on the PS4, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you that are interested, it is 20% off until sometime. I forgot when, but...
Yeah.
It's just kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting in on that for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... Cool. And second to last, we are going to talk about Dragon's Crown Pro, which was recently announced. This is basically a remake of the Dragon's Crown game that came out on the PS3 with some enhancements.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of that point and click thing, because that was stupid. Yeah.
I'm so ready to get addicted to this game all over again, though.
Oh, God, yes. This game was just a GD delight. It really
sleep
was.
I really hope they do get rid of that stupid point-and-click mechanic, because that just got in the way of so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really made the game a lot more difficult than it needed to be, especially when you had to do it in the middle of a fight. I mean, oh, come on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Dragon's Crown, also known as Movie References the Game.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It could also be called Gigantic Boobs. I should point that out.
And Gigantic Thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really just George Kamitani, the game.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Dragon's Crown or Peach Beach Splash?
Yeah.
It's kind of both at this point. Yeah. So I don't know if there was a release date announced for that. I didn't see one. But it's probably sometime 2018.
Yeah, Sony is good at showing us games and not telling us when they're coming out.
So. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, they're really good at that.
Fuckers.
Not as bad as Microsoft, but yeah, still.
Oh, well, Microsoft, they don't have anything to announce, so that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually don't think they announced anything at
TGS. They just, make controllers. And you know what? They're releasing the Duke. I have no idea why they're doing that.
Oh, I want one of those. I'm not even joking.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah. No, seriously, for my hands, the Duke was perfect. So, yeah, I'll be probably end up trying to find one of those. and finally, Yakuza Kiwami 2 looks amazing. It's also got a couple hidden games in there. Well, I don't, they're not really hidden because you can just go and play them. It's Virtual Fighter 2 and Virtual On. And
very good selections.
God, that's good because I never got to play Virtual On, even though I wanted to so badly.
Yeah.
Whenever people mention the Virtual On, I always think about that stupid video of the Nintendo On.
Oh, God.
That was not a good look. Yeah. You know, I just love the idea of, you know, virtually walking into an arcade and then going to play something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really wish we could
that's
do
one
that.
Of the things I loved about the original Shenmue is that, you know, you had these places where you could go in and you could, you know, pop in some yen and you could play, you know, Space Harrier or, you know, just about anything on.
Yeah.
That was available. It was just, it was such a cool mechanic and it was very good at, immersion.
Yeah. That's what
Speaking
I want.
Shenmue.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about it during TGS, did they?
No.
Not as far as I saw, no.
It's so weird that they talked about it at Gamescom but not TGS.
Yeah, Sega I kind of missed the mark there, but anyways. Yeah. What I really want is a retro collection that uses that mechanic. Lets you, you know, build an avatar and then walk around an arcade and go in and play things.
And have the online mode integrated with that.
Yeah. The closest.
Oh, that's kind of what Xbox Live had at first.
Yeah, well, that's the closest we got was Xbox's Game Room, which was almost that, except it was a little bit limited in that you were basically just sliding around a room, and that was pretty much it. You could see the other people's avatars if they just dropped in, but yeah, it wasn't really what we wanted.
It was interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. I liked the game selection for the most part, but I mean, it was multi-console and multi-arcade, so they had that going for it. But yeah, I think there's room for something like that.
I wouldn't mind paying a little more for it. It's
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. So maybe they can make some company can. Team up with Digital Cyber Cherries and work with their new retro arcade Neon platform and make that happen. So, so yeah. And
sounds great.
Yep, I think that's our show for this week. It's a little bit shorter than usual, but you know, we had some good stuff. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we were counting on a much better TGS than we got.
Yeah, we kind of were. It was a little disappointing, but well, whatever. It is what it is at this point. So
yeah.
I mean, we got Noctis, so you know.
Yay, Noctis! Yeah. Alrighty. So, if you want to subscribe to the show, you could do so on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, or your favorite RSS reader. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/dayzerounddate, facebook.com/smashpadsocial, or just smashpad.com for our reviews and other content. So with that, I am Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Dan Red Victoria.
See you next week.